Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is Aaron Sanders, who is starring in the new horror thriller The Call, which comes out October 30th on video on demand, various digital platforms, and The Call is a very interesting horror flick because not only does it star Aaron, it features Lin Shaye and Tobin Bell, some iconic horror actors of our day and age. And I have to just ask Aaron, how much fun did you have acting with those two?
I had so much fun. It's always such a treat to act with people who have so much experience under their belts and have been in just such a wide variety of films. They come with so much experience, and those two people are just wonderful humans to be around anyway. So whether we were on camera or off camera, it was a great experience.
I would have loved to have been on that set just to absorb their conversations, because there's so much horror experience there between the two of them. I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
I know exactly what you mean. And I try to be really mindful when I'm working with other actors too, not to just like ask them a million questions, obviously. So just letting it unfold naturally in conversation. But there's this one particular scene. I'm not going to give any spoilers, obviously, but just it's a very, very long scene with Tobin, and he is the main person driving it. I swear he has like 5 pages of what's almost entirely him monologuing with just a couple lines here and there of me or one of the other actors. And he nailed it every single time. So I definitely was intrigued by his process of working on that. And what was really refreshing is it wasn't actually anything I didn't already know. It was just taking a lot of time and a lot of work and writing it out. And those are all the things that I do anyway. So it's nice to know that, you know, no one's out there with like magic tricks. It really just is hard work and time and diligence and patience.
Well, The Call is set in a smallish town in fall of 1987, right when school is starting, and our four protagonists are high schoolers of, shall we say, dubious behavioral tendencies.
That's a generous way to describe it.
They're troublemakers. Just come out and say it. They're troublemakers.
Yes, there we go. There she said it.
They're troublemakers, and they have various grudges between each other and the older couple, the married couple played by Lin Shaye and Tobin Bell. And they decide to start something. And of course, as in all horror movies involving troublesome high schoolers, shenanigans ensue. So I have to ask, how much fun did you have dolling yourself up like it was 1987?
Oh, yeah. So much fun. Our hair and makeup was led by Ching, and she's just incredible and always wowed me with her looks. I was the only woman on set that they got to really play around with looks with in that way, you know, because Lin is obviously the other large character played by a woman in the show, but she's not all dolled up with like crazy hair and makeup looks unless, you know, they're scary looks. So I feel like our hair, makeup, and wardrobe really went all out with me and got to play with so many different eyeshadows and crimped hair and like giant hair and, you know, Madonna style, little ringlets all pinned up, you know, very like Vogue 80s style. And our wardrobe pulled lots of personal pieces to enhance my looks, which was really bold and brave of her, considering the fact that, again, not to give spoilers, but there's blood around, you know, so we had to make sure that we didn't stain or ruin any of these really specific, unique, one-of-a-kind pieces. So we definitely had to be careful in that regard and had so much fun playing around.
Yeah, it was the big hair and the patchwork jacket that sold it for me.
Yes, the patchwork jacket belongs to our key head wardrobe, and she's the one who did it herself. Like, that belongs to her and used to belong to her mom, which is so special.
Oh, wow. That's iconic.
I know.
And
I mean,
brave.
She really entrusted me with it. I was so moved.
Yeah. Given, the gore that was flying around at one point, brave move there.
I completely agree. It lets let's just say that there was a little drama at times about just like what scenes that patchwork jacket was being worn for, like scenes when we thought there wouldn't be blood flying and then there was, and everyone's like, hold on, we have to be strategic about this. And she was like standing at the sidelines with her fabric wipes and literally in between takes coming in and scrubbing the blood droplets so that it wouldn't stain permanently.
So I don't want to give any spoilers about the story, because it's a very interesting premise, and the tension that builds up between the characters and the situations they find themselves in. What for you was either the scariest or the most fun scenes to do?
Definitely when I have this very specific showdown with Lynn Shay was wild. And I feel like we both devolved into this really, for lack of a better term, raw, exposed, crying, snotty, yelling, spitting blood moment that I will not forget anytime soon.
So, like I said, I want to avoid...
Yeah, it was very intense, and it just kept building take after take, you know?
Nice. Yeah, just, I mean, just the fun it must have been to do a one-on-one confrontation with her, with Lynn, must have been just exciting.
It was so exciting. And that scene that I mentioned earlier, that was a very long scene with Tobin, there's a section in there where I get to have a little bit of a one-on-one confrontation with him, where I stand up right in his face and he's staring me like deathly deep into my eyes. That moment, and then that scene that I just described with Lynn, where we're just literally nose to nose, where she's speaking and like blood is spitting from her mouth onto my face. Those scenes where we're just so close that nothing else exists, those are really special for me.
So when you got the script for this film, was there anything in particular about how Tanya was portrayed in the story that you read that said to you, that spoke to you, said, I have to do this?
So what's really interesting to me about Tanya is you mentioned that these kids are troublemakers. You mentioned that they all have various grudges, and these emotions, these experiences, these traumas that these kids have experienced can be simplified into grudges. And also when fleshed out internally, that emotional life really gives for me a direction and a reason for why these young people are behaving in the way that they do. Not to say that it justifies their behavior, certainly, but there is a lot of trauma that Tanya has experienced and internalized, and she has been led to unhealthy coping patterns, and this is what drives her trajectory and her journey that we get to watch in The Call, and connecting to her emotional journey and why it drives her and motivates her to be the way she is what really interests me, because my favorite thing is to play characters that are really fleshed out and have a backstory and are whole people, and this was all right there on the page, so I love that I got to take that and build upon it and go forth.
Well, the story is a very, very interesting take on, just for lack of a better word, wounded people and how they lash out in response to that pain. And I wish some of the scenes were a bit brighter, because there were so many effects in there I wanted to dig into more. That's my thing. I love taking apart scenes and seeing how much of the special effects are practical and how much might be enhanced digitally. I just love looking for that in horror movies. So that's my thing.
I love that you have an interest in that. Yeah. What was really cool for me seeing the finished film was seeing how much was enhanced. And I don't know if you were able to pick up on this, but I can share with you that it was really hard for me to tell on camera what might have been enhanced and what hadn't been, because I got to see everything, all the physical elements in person. And I would say most of it, if not like, you know, 98% in each scene that I was involved in, was physically there. We had so much incredible hair and makeup, and the set design was super spooky and gross in person. That stuff was really happening.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you had fun bringing that messy in terms of story and goop to us.
Yeah, it was so much fun. There was one scene in particular where someone, I won't tell you who, but someone charges at me and knocks me to the ground and is just on top of me screaming with blood just pouring from their mouth onto me as I scream. So, like, obviously some of that blood went into my mouth. That was, I would say, one of the grosser moments when I had to really suspend all reality and only exist in that scene.
Nice. Well, we will let people see the movie and experience those scenes for themselves. But what else are you working on? Have you been engaging any alternate creative expression during these lockdown days?
Thank you for asking. Yeah, creative expression is extra challenging to find these days. I've been screenwriting in lockdown myself. And also, I recently got to participate in this whirlwind shoot for a music video for a remix of the theme song Follow Me for a series Zoe 101 that I was on years ago. And everyone involved and the star Jamie Lynn Spears is pushing to have the entire series rebooted. So we'll see what happens in that regard. But we got to shoot this music video, and it was just released, in fact, yesterday for like a limited release of people who bought tickets to this special premiere event of it. And in just a few days, it's going to be released to the public. And mm-hmm. I think everyone's going to be talking about that a lot. So I'm really excited for you to see it.
Cool. Well, tell us where people can find you online on social media to keep up with developments for this video and the other stuff you're working on.
Thanks so much. I'm on Instagram. My handle is at Erin Zariah, which is my middle name. Erinzariah. That's where I post the most. I'm also on TikTok, but I literally just got on there, and I'm not a Gen Zer, so I'm still figuring things out, but I'm at Erin Sanders on there. Instagram is my main place.
Nice. Cool. Well, Erin, thank you for sharing your experiences on the call with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for talking with me.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Hey there, Mer Lafferty, co-editor of Escape Pod here, and I just wanted to let you know, if you are listening to this podcast right now, then you probably would enjoy our very first print anthology. Escape Pod, our 15th anniversary print anthology, will feature a mix of stories, some of which have been on the site, some are reprints that may be new to you, and some are brand new stories from people like T. Kingfisher, Maurice Broaddus, Greg Van Eekout, and our own Tina Connolly. I also contributed a story featuring the universe from my book, Six Wakes. So if you are in the UK, you can get your copy October 20th, and if you're in the US, you can get your copy on November 17th. But check it out. We're pretty proud of what we've done with this, just like we're pretty proud with what we've done with this entire podcast for the past 15 years.
Here's the odd thing for me about the call. It's really weird. I'm still trying to put my finger on it. The story is not as compelling to me as some of the characterizations, most of the characterizations. The husband and wife, played by Lynn Shea and Tobin Bell, they're relationship, their quiet suffering are really, really well played. The four kids are all harboring secrets. They are much, much darker than they are letting the world see. Tanya harbors a deep secret. She's angry, suffice to say. The new kid, Chris, is also harboring a dark secret, and you find out what that is, but you don't find out the twist in what he's hiding until later. You don't find out the reason the other two, the two brothers, what are their names? Zach and Brett. Zach appears to be the meathead, and his little brother Brett plays the nerdy one, but both of them harbor a very dark secret that isn't spelled out directly, but you, when the secrets start falling out, you can infer what really happened there. And I guess having the story unfold as a way to uncover their darker cores, there's a piece missing, and I cannot for the life of me put my finger on it. But our main four leads, there's something about the chemistry around them as the story is building around them, as their backstories slowly come out, that is compelling for me to watch. I just wish there was, I can't express how much it bothers me that it feels like there's a piece missing to the actual story wrapped around these characters. There's something missing, and if it were there, it would raise this movie up another level. As it is, it's pretty good. It doesn't have that sequence where, like, some of the newer indie horror films, they have this one moment where stuff slows down too much and kind of distracts you from the tension that has been building up. This doesn't have that. And I'm thankful. I'm grateful for that. The story is worth seeing just for the performances that Lynn Shay and Tobin Bell put in. And Aaron really chews up the scenery where she needs to, and it's fun to watch. I just wish I could put my finger on that one piece that would, for me, bring the story and the performances together. But if you've seen The Call, what do you think? Maybe you have some ideas or some theories. If you do, feel free to call in, leave a message. The number is 602-635-6976, or shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio Podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, please leave us a review. Those reviews help out our profile on those platforms, and you can follow us on Twitter @SliceOfSciFi. And yes, I will get into discussions with folks about stuff related to sci-fi, related to fantasy, horror, reading, writing, comics, you name it. If it's in my wheelhouse of favorites, I'll chat about it. You can follow us on YouTube. It's youtube.com/sliceofscifi. For those of you who asked, the Star Wars Nitpicking is Love discussion a month or so ago, The video of that is on our YouTube channel. So head on over there and check that out. And of course, there's the website, sliceofscifi.com. Come on by, weigh in on the many interviews and reviews we have here. Get a conversation going, because that's what we do. We love stories, and we talk about them. I'd like to thank everyone who is helping support this podcast, the other podcasts, this website, and the other websites, all of which are in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe, shows like Writers After Dark and the Archive for Babylon Podcast, where, yes, we had a Return from the Rim series of episodes about a year ago for the 25th anniversary of Babylon 5. And those anniversary episodes included interviews with Tracy Scoggins, Mira Furlan, Marshall Teague, and Joshua Cox. And yeah, we talked to Dodger. That was a lot of fun. Head on over there. Have some fun. And your pledges, your donations, help keep those online for future fans to find. Help keep the interviews here at Slice of Sci-Fi online for people to peruse. And if you can help support, add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Or if a PayPal donation now and then is better for you, that link is paypal.me/sci-fi-summer. And folks who support through Patreon, who wishes it, is eligible to receive a book, a Blu-ray, a DVD, some of the items I get for review that I can't keep because of space reasons, I pass on to my supporters, because that's my way of helping to spread these gifts amongst my listeners, fans, and supporters. So thank you all you current patrons and future patrons. And that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi this weekend. Take care.